This is side one of tape two of the July 16th, 1986 interview with Captain Eddie Baker of Mayport, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor.
About 100 blocks ahead of me. About me and my sweet Jesus, I caught them all. That's right. I was as tough as a... I was as hard as fishermen, because what I believe in, I fish by the moon, because the daddy learned me how to plant.
Yeah.
By omni.
Tell me about that. I don't know much about the signs of the moon or anything.
Well, I planted it. The people on the moon, it's a growing moon now.
Yeah.
And see the moonlight shine. And the moonshine, the water sparkle like that. But dark night, you can see. And you catch more shrimp. But dark night, you do it with the moonlight.
Is it brown shrimp or white shrimp?
White shrimp. It's brown shrimp now. They don't make no difference when the water sparkles. A shrimp will go down in the mud. It buries itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't catch much shrimp when it's lightning. Because that lightning squall, that lightning coming is to make a flash like that. It's something you do to the shrimp. They go in the mud and hide. Crab the same way.
Mm-hmm.
All the fishes, when the lightning, thunder, they take off. And you can tell when they're going to have bad weather by the sharks. If you watch them, because they be jumping up, turning over and over in the water. Yeah, they be jumping up. Going to the east, going to the west. I turn over and over. 2-3 days, you see big northeast. And that's what we like when we get a big northeast. Right after the northeast, you go fishing and catch a lot of shrimp because the water is muddy and they don't see the net as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we make, you know, catch good shrimp.
Mm.
But I had a bad break listening to that other fellow about the boat, because after Captain Mayo died, he took sick. He died about 2 weeks after he told me that if I'd have went and signed the paper, the boat would have been mine.
Mm.
He died.
Mm.
I had the boat over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was his boat right on. So I fished it a while. Yeah. Let him have it.
Yeah.
So after he died, I quit working for him. Went working for Lewis down there. And Lewis didn't have no money. I went away from the Captain Raymond. Fished for Captain Raymond. I waited for Raymond a long time.
Did you and other skippers who went on boats owned by these companies, did you work on shares, or how did they
figure 40% of the dollar.
40% out of the catch?
Yeah.
And the 60% went
to the owner of the boat? Mm-hmm. See, he buys the fuel, he buys the rigging for the boat, nets and chain, those, all that,
mm-hmm.
keep the ray and tan of the boat up. And he gets 40%, and he gets 60. So now I hear that these younger fellas come up now, they get 35%. They don't pay but 35% now.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep it because the insurance of the boat is so high. And fuel is so high. And a mechanic costs you now to come down and work on your boat. It costs you about $8, $9, $10 an hour.
Yeah, easy.
See? That's what they cost. So they have to get something to fall back on. Because the insurance is so high on the boat, and mechanic, they couldn't make it.
Did the pay for the strikers come out of your 40%, or how was
we paid for strikers. Now they give us a lot of the fellas now give the strikers the fish money.
Mm-hmm.
See, that give them a break. That helped them.
Mm-hmm.
And why a lot of people don't owe the government so much money? Because a long time ago when I was fishing, the dealers take out my money
mm-hmm.
for the government.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, instead of they take out your money, they just figure all your money and give it to you.
Right.
And you just don't pay no income tax.
Yeah.
Then when they send your paper in, they see that you owe so much money.
Yeah.
And that's why the government be writing fellas to come pay to send the money. If you don't, they put you in jail.
Yeah.
You can go up there and make some kind of remedy to pay so much a month.
How much would you pay your strikers?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I got two good fellas on the boat, and I have one fellow rigged up, young fellow. He comes to that's my grandson. I learned him how to fish, and I used to give them, I used to split the money. because the man that I run the boat for, he always give me 10%, give me 5 cents to look out for the boat, take care of the boat. Well, I takes that and put it in my pocket, so I take and go 50-50 with them. I split the money with them. And I pay them like that because I had to wait for what I get. And I don't believe in waking another man and taking his own. So I split my money, and I like that. I get a crew on the boat with me. I ain't worried about no crew. Because they know if I tell them I give you so-and-so and such and such thing, then Saturday comes, you go in the office, you get your money, I get mine.
Yeah.
I don't believe in taking a lot of fellas do it, but I don't. And because the Bible teaches me, say, unjust do not prosper. And I find that is true. It's like if I go to work today and I make $4, Sunday come, I put three in check. I get it back fourfold. I believe, but that's for mother with father. They taught me that when I was young. And it's hard for you to break off and do something that your father and mother taught you when you know it was right. It's hard. But a lot of people in the younger generation don't care nothing about it. Now, these did. See, what I do, I just look at church at them. My wife tell me all the time. See, they don't care nothing about you about that church. You help build it. You help do this. They don't care nothing for you. But it ain't the matter of the church. The church is just a name. But God said you must be born again. And he asked, the question was asked, how can I be born again? Back in my mother's womb, he said, no. So you must be born by water and the Holy Spirit. See, that's why the world was destroyed before. Because the people's obedience. And God knows when he make man, he said, if I make man, man gonna sin. He said them words. He said, but if man sin, I come down here and I redeem him. I redeem man. Well, man did sin. Man stayed in the garden 33 years. God said, I'm gonna give him a helpmate. Put him to sleep and took a rib out and make a woman. And a man sinned. I've even sinful ever since. That's where the sin come in the world. But he said, if man sin, I'll come down and redeem him. So that's where Jesus come from, by Virgin Mary. And everybody know why Jesus didn't sin. No, Jesus didn't sin because Jesus had no nature. All he had to go do is follow his way. He died. He hung there till the ninth hour, till the moon refused to shine, the sun refused to shine, the stars were dropping from the silver socket, but he kept on dying. And that's why I said the thief was on one side and the robber was on the other, and they asked him. He said, now that man there, that fella there, he killed somebody. He said, but that man ain't killed nobody. Why are we suffering? And they asked him. He said, no. And I'd be in paradise. I reached down with one hand, reach up and got him. Tell Jesus, say, he'd be on my side. And I believe in the Holy Bible. And I believe in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one we supposed to follow, not God. God don't hear me. God don't hear you. Because Jesus, when he went to pray, he said, I'm going to pray to my Father. And you stay here and pray. But when you was praying here, and he come back, you went to sleep, and Jesus come, he said, y'all still sleeping there. And he prayed and said, sleep on. So that's why a woman is wiser than a man. Still wiser. But see, he said, you can't read that much. You can't do that much. How you know that much about the Bible? But if God converts your soul, it's in you. When you go to do something wrong, something will tell you, hey, that's wrong. It have happened to me time and time and time after time. And I got a witness, Jesus Christ. Randy come and told me, said, Eddie, said, your leg is getting bad. Get off the boat. Did I get off? I didn't. And I hit them jetties out there, a rock in that boat. And I asked him, I said, Father, I said, it's in your hand. If you intend for me to walk off, I will. If you don't, it's up to you. And I take that straw and I shove it down, and that thing turned fast, never turned any light. And I brought that boat right up there to the pilot station. The water was on the, I asked him, I said, Richard, damn in the water, get on the floor. He run there. I said, how the water? No, Dad, Granddaddy ain't up on the floor yet. I said, well, we ain't got too far to go. If we get up there by the pilot station, all right, y'all get ready. They call on the Coast Guard, the Coast Guard passed right on by me. I got it on the side of the pilot station. When I slow it down, she done this like that. I put it right on up on the bank.
Did you ever get into any trouble like that any other times or in hard weather or anything?
Yeah, I've got in trouble in a storm.
Yeah?
And I got caught down the beach in a storm and everybody went with the weather. And I figured I could have beat the weather, the St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. And it took me 19 hours.
Going right into the wind?
Going into the wind. And I had to slow down. And sometimes I say, you slow it down. And I slow the boat down. And then Bob said, help, you got the boat full of water. I said, it is. I said, ease the anchor overboard. And we got down and all the trash, the boat was new. And all the trash got in the pump. And we cleaned it out and hold our hand on it. I let the engine run until we pump it out. We got up and got the anchor up. And we made it on the St. Augustine. We got the St. Augustine. He said, Cap, you can't go in there. I said, y'all do like I tell you to do. I said, I'm not up here by myself. And I just set the compass right straight in the bow. And two fire boats were behind me. And I got on in the bow. And they said, hey, you going to Augustine? I said, no, I'm going on home. I come on through the inside, come on to Naples. And I got inside, I said, thank you, Jesus. I have got caught in the weather, but I fish and learn how to fish by the moon. The growing of the moon, the weather gets severe. Mm-hmm. And when the moon gets full, and the wind is the moon go down, wasting, the seas, the weather go down. But when the moon come up young, the storm grows by the moon. If a storm or a hurricane will hit any place, if it hit with the force of that young moon before it get full, it's a goodbye city. Mm-hmm. But if it get full and start wind, it change another course. Mm-hmm. And the wind go down. See, because Jesus spoke, when God had man was running, told man to go preach. I looks at the Bible and I spells it and read it out. And it's coming to me within. That's the Spirit telling me that. And that's why I got it up here. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what man says. Because mm-hmm. God tell you, man is not to trust. So it comes to me like this. Whatever Jesus tell you to do, you do it. Because that's who we supposed to follow. Him. Then the world was your before. The people were so obedience. Mm-hmm. They done everything wrong. God said, I'm going to destroy the world. Destroy it by water. But this time, so when I strike, it'll be brimstone fire. But God ain't going to destroy the world. It come to me, he ain't going to destroy the world. He going to destroy what's in the world. Because mm-hmm. he built this world to stay. He going to destroy what's in this world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. And the younger, you see, the younger race of people will be weaker and wiser. It's not like the old people. They be weak and wiser. Right now, you can see the young people, they're going crazy about dope. They're using cocaine. You see, killing other people, but yet still they use it right on. Mm-hmm. But they got, that's a feeling. Well, God say he stole one, he got two children, he stole one dying on earth. Mm-hmm. But that's the devil loose on earth. Mm-hmm. Look at the people. Look at the colored and the white, the women's on the beach. They don't have nothing to hide no more. That's a kick to them. Mm-hmm. See? Long time ago when I come, your parents may come, we have on long dresses down. People don't want that no more. See, so the Bible is filling every day. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, that's why I carry God along with me. Mm-hmm. The Bible is filling mm-hmm. every day. Now, I'll tell you an accident happened to me yesterday.
Yeah.
When I leave, I was going up to my doctor. And when I got on the Beach Boulevard, after a while, the car started doing that. I said, uh-oh. I said, when did I got a flat tire? Before I had the word out my mouth, I see something come. The hubcap went past the car.
Yeah.
And boy, she went doing that. And I didn't mash the brakes. I just take my foot off the gas. Now, let's hold it. I got it off the side of the road as far as I could. And I said, well, I had a spare in the back. And about 25 cars behind me. And on the going out over to the beach side, I see one truck hit the hubcap, knock it out, knock it back on that side. Come back, a fella tried to duck around and hit it and knock it back on the side in the grass. So I went and picked it up. And I brought it and looked at it. I said, no, he never straightened this back. So I come back and I start the car and I try to get enough room off the road where I can get a jacket up where I can put the other tire on. Mm-hmm. And look at all the wind from the car that's pushing me up since the car. And a white fella, he was coming to the truck. And he had to go just about four or five blocks, I think, because I counted. And he got in the acid, and he turned, come back. Mm-hmm. And he come on around, he got right there, and he put his blinkers on, and he stopped that truck. And he had to go around that truck, and I jacked it up. He said, people don't care for you no more these days. I said, God sent you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I told him. I said, God sent you. Mm-hmm. Jesus sent you by him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah. See, I got feeling with him, mm-hmm. and I mean it was hot.
Yeah.
So I went and I jacked it up and I put it on, and he said, "Got it?" I said, "Yeah." and I took on. I got to the doctor's office, and my hand was all that tar and that mm-hmm. rubber. And she said, "Mr. Baker, go back." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I got to go back in now. I got to wash my hand." She said, "What's the matter?" I had a blowout. I went on back there and washed my hand up and washed my hand and cleaned up. Come back. She said, Dr. B, in a few minutes. And the Lord, I got a box of medicine I have to pay for it. He give me that.
Mm-hmm.
See, God look out for his people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to God, all of my people gone, I'm the last one. And as long as I'm evil, I'm a servant. God is to what? They say they talk about Jesus Christ, and they have never seen him. So what about me and you? And they see us every day. But Jesus said, be humble. Humble is the way. When you be humble and you ask the Lord, he give you bread. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to let you starve. Didn't he took 5 loaves of barley bread and 5 fish and feed 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
He done that, didn't he? Well, he feeds him. That's why I told my wife, yeah, he feeds him. There I got Lester Raw in my leg, in my bones. I got sugar diabetes. Well, I can't eat no egg, but I got chicken. I did plenty of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get that hungry, all I have to do is boil the egg, get the white, let the yolk go. I got something to eat right on. I just say I'm a God-sent man. God have blessed me.
Yeah.
And my wife, she was one helped me to find my father before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and sat down to him and talked. And I told him, and he said, all I ever got is yours. He left that for me. I talked to my niece up there last night before last. And he said, my wife, so we have to feed her. But I said, well, by the good life, good Lord, I'm going to have a son if I live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no money, but I have one by then.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, they took both her legs off.
Oh, yeah.
And she She had 14 children, and she got all of them living but two. Mm-hmm. They helped her. But I always say, when you God ain't gonna put no more on you, you can stand. I say that because my wife had a sweet mother. She was a Christian-hearted woman, and I used to follow. And I had a lady used to stay up here, Miss Lewis. And she was from my home, and she knew my people. And every time she see me, she just scorned me. The things I do, I didn't got no business, like I be drinking. And she said, you wasn't raised like that. And I used to call myself, I wouldn't pass by her house. I go way around and go past her. And next day she's telling me, I saw you. I saw you going across there. So I found I couldn't hide. So what you hiding? Just quit doing it. Yes, quit doing it. That's right.
We're talking about family here. And I was wondering if you taught fishing to any of your sons or grandsons.
My grandson, I taught him about fishing. He used to do that. But he got young and he started smoking that stuff too. So he married. And he got a wife and kid, two kids. Mm-hmm. I put them all in insurance. Because they don't put them in insurance. I learned him. But he yelled at me today. Then you had a whole week.
Well, what's the most important kinds of things for someone to learn to be a fisherman? If I was to come to you and say, Captain Eddie, you know, I want to be a fisherman, what should I know?
Well, you should learn. First, you learn about your rigging on your boat. You got to learn how to keep your net up. You buy nets, and they made them, and you take and you measure them, and you see how they run out.
Yeah.
So when your nets come out, 12 tie, 15 tie, I had a little book. I put it down on the book, and I fished that net, say, a week or 2 weeks, and that net slack up. I get the two lines, run it together, and see if they don't stretch. So I hang them, and they put them back in shape. I put them back on, they're going back to wake again. So that's what you have to do. You got to keep your rig up. Some people say you wake too much. You know, whatever you do, be sure you know what you're doing. That's up here. If that net stop fishing, there ain't nothing around the door, it's a net. See, the line to make stretches. One time we used to make rope. We used to use rope to stretch. Now they make cable. The fellas want to say the cable don't stretch. The cable stretch too. It stretches, and your net get out of shape. And then you can have too much power in the boat and put too much power on the net and pull the top of the net up. The bottom come up to the top. You don't catch no swim. Slow down on your throttle. Then you find out if you catch the moorings of the swamp on the going out tide, go out on the ebb tide. If you catch the moorings of the swamp with the coming in tide, fish on the coming in tide. But you catch the moorings of your swamp is on the going out tide. That's where I always find the best of my fishing, on the going out. I used to go right out in this bayou, I fish out the St. John River and around that sea boot. I fished so close to that sea boot that I caught it one time, caught the anchor. That's right. I leave a rig on it. But Mommy and Mr. Junior said, that's all right, Ed. So you get another rig. You can get another rig. His brother right down there right now, I was talking to him this morning. I told him, he went out there, he said, Eddie, that chain's supposed to pop. I said, Mr. William, I know that chain's supposed to pop. I said, but I don't know why it don't pop. I said, all that strain I put on it, it didn't pop.
Yeah.
I said, like it tear the side off the boat. He going to do it. So he went on out there the next day. He said, you going to catch it? I said, yeah, I'll catch it. So I went by the boot, the tide was running out of it, so I put the drag overboard. Pull around. I got on the side of the boat, the boat swam back. I said, all right, we got it. We wind it up, put it up, got to the end of it, and run the other end through the block. And he put it on the stern of the boat, and he makes some kind of knot in that line, around that cable. And he pulled that cable, and he pulled, till we got that boat right over that net. And I said, Mr. William, I don't believe she's gonna pop. He said, yeah. And before the word out of my mouth, I'm just whoom! And that chain bust loose. I think bust loose and knock him overboard. And I said, catch him, catch him. Because the tide was pushing him onto the boat. See?
Yeah.
So we put a line on him, we catch him, put him on the boat. He said, Eddie, I said, yes, you got the cutter? I said, yeah, I got the cutter. He said, a damn set of doors, don't waste a life. Is it? I said, no, I told you that. So we cut it off, boom, come on to the dock. And he told Junior, he said, yeah, he caught it. He said, but I don't see why that chain don't pop. So I told him, I said, well, when you want it to pop, it won't pop. So we used to buy and put some little links in it, but it pop.
Oh,
it
yeah?
hits up, but it don't do it.
Right.
It don't do it all the time. Right. It don't do it. So it's just like a fellow fishing out there, and off there fishing for groupers. And the net went up under the rocks. And that's a cap, you know, anywhere you get that no more. Mm-hmm. You just better let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So he messed around there like to turn it over. They turned the boat over, so I said, why pull the cable up and chop it? Bam!
Mm-hmm.
And come home. I said, you can get you another set of doors. You know, drown everybody we out
there.
Because you sometimes you be dragging out there, and I notice I hear old people talk. Long time ago, used to be sailing vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago, when the storm come, they used to put an anchor overboard. You don't know what you're going to catch. Airplane up all out there. I've caught airplanes out there. And see, pick the wings up, pick the motor part up, and bring it to the dock. Right down here, Mr. Junior and I go down there on low water.
Yeah.
I caught a little fiberglass boat.
Oh, yeah.
And I put it on the deck, and I brought it right in this, up there in this slip. I've been there for years.
Hmm.
He said, I started asking him, what are you saving it for? What you saving that for? This or something. All right, Eddie, you put it up there. Let it stay there. He ain't hurting nobody. And it'd be up there. But,
what other things have you caught like that that are unusual?
Well, I've caught anchors. I'll bring them to the dock, and we have put them up there on the hill. And they have given them to people, and they have put them in the yard who wants them. And sometimes I just catch big rocks. I'm fishing close to rock out there, and I'll bring them and put them on the dock, and people have come in and get them and put them in the yard.
Yeah.
Like that. And you catch, you know, pieces of metal. I don't even know what it is. I don't be care. All I want to get it out the net, and I throw it away.
Right.
And sometimes you get a big truck down there and haul it off to the dump.
Yeah.
And people come, a fella down to the beach, they used to come in. I used to give him, save all the webbing, old webbing. I pile it up, and then I call him. And he come down there and get it and carry it down, and he sew it, you know, put it together, makes all kind of sand for people. He would like to have it in the restaurant and stuff,
mm-hmm.
right there. I do things like that for people because when I was sick and I used to save, I went down to the doctor, Dr. Gomez was my doctor, after Reagan closed the hall, this sent up here to the post office,
mm-hmm.
and I called my doctor. My daughter, and she come here, and all my receipt and all my papers and stuff I had, I was going. We look on there to get the best doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went up there, that he didn't tell me. He's dead now, Dr. Morris. And he said, Eddie, he said, we ain't going to take that chance. He said, your blood is so high, boy.
Mm-hmm.
If you stump your foot, it busts your blood down. Then we got a doctor over here in Southside, we're going to send him. And that's where they send him, over there. And I thank him. And when I went to Dr. Gomez, he said, Eddie, I'm going to send over there and get your record. I asked for it. He said, I can get it quicker than you can.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent over there and he gave my record. I'm going there about 30-some years. And just the way he told me, he said, who was your doctor? I said, Dr. McKee. He said, why? He didn't tell you about your blood. I said, he was giving me some pills for it. He said, what kind of pills? I said, I don't know. I said, I was taking them, take one in the morning, one in the afternoon, like you said. He said, boy, I don't know. So I told him, I said, well, God wasn't ready for you. He said, but you'll be all right. He said, you'll be all right. And he said, well, I look at one light, that bulb, they look like four light. My sugar was going up. going up in the rut. Mm. So he come, he said, you know what I want you to do? I said, what? He said, I want you to take all your chamberlain, put it in this bag. I did that. And he come the next morning, and he told the person, and he fasted and said, I want you to freeze it. And he freezed it. And he scraped that ice off of there. Mm-hmm. And he put it on a glass, and the sugar was thick as my fingernail. Mm-hmm. That's right. I actually take Neil.
This is side two of the second tape of the July 16th, 1986 interview with Captain Eddie Baker of Mayport, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor.
Right after we said, if you eat, take your pills. If you don't eat, don't take them. Mm-hmm. And it don't work. And then he found that I had cholesterol. He gave me some pills. As long as I do like he said do, it don't worry me. Now the only thing do worry me, like what happened yesterday, my wife getting an argument, you know, like that, and make me angry. That's why I don't like to argue. I just walk off.
Yeah.
And then I tell her, I got to tell her and get sued with it. Mm-hmm. Never just stay there, ying, all day, just give me a gym jam.
Yeah.
I just walk on off and go up. Yeah. Sit down, and after a while, I'll settle down. She said, you know, you like this. You like that. I told you I don't like the argue. Mm.
Here's something else I wanted to ask you, Captain. A lot of people, especially the older fishermen that I speak with, tell me about certain beliefs that fishermen have about good luck and bad luck, things maybe you shouldn't say on a boat.
That's what they say, but the only thing I know is on a boat, a man told me, don't never turn your hatch upside down.
What would that mean?
That's the hatch is what you cover the box with.
Yeah.
They said, if you turn the hatch upside down, so that's bad luck. I asked him, he said, that is bad luck. Now, don't ask me no more. So I keep on saying, every once in a while, I ask him again. So he said, yeah, he said, just a scene for the fisherman. Mm-hmm. Now, he said, I'll tell you what is the luck, is that. So you wake up in the morning and see lightning in the northeast. So that's a sign of storm. So I pay attention to it, and you do.
Mm-hmm. Were there things, ever any words that you weren't supposed to say on a boat, or things you weren't supposed to bring on a boat?
No, they said, a lot of people want to have peanuts on a boat.
You shouldn't have peanuts on a boat?
That's what they say, it's bad luck, but I can't on it. Mm-hmm. I don't see the difference. Mm-hmm. And some people say when you're picking up shrimp or things, if you catch 13 shrimp, throw one over board, get that 13, I said, I wish I'd catch all 13. It don't make no difference. I say it's just a scene that people say. That's all. It's just a scene. But I think that it's just like God, just like Jesus said, told the man, said, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of monks, fishermen. Mm-hmm. Fishermen of fishermen. And he said, no. He said, I've been all night long. I ain't catch a fish. He said, just turn around catching that on the right hand side. And they had more fish. Mm-hmm. And they could have them. So it just, the people ideas think that they can outsmart the other man. Mm-hmm. And then he the one get outsmarted himself. Mm-hmm. Because I know plenty of time, I get up in the morning, and my mind tell me to go to the Cebu. I don't care how much they catch down the beach, I'm going to the Cebu. Mm-hmm. When they get back at the race, I have my fishing, my swamp and gone. Mm-hmm. I don't ever believe in going catching the other man, so let me find some. For myself, because if the water run north down there, it run north up here, and the shrimp is all making it to the inlet. And one day, the one time when the tide gets right, this inlet can pay off too. And that's where, and that's where I figured. Now, if I get going from there to fish to Augustine, I don't stop until I get near Augustine, and I put my net over and drive toward the inlet. And the closer you get to the inlet, the more shrimp you catch. See? Because the shrimp come out the river. See? In the summertime, the shrimp come out the river. Shrimp don't go south. Shrimp go north. because the water's cool. Mm-hmm. And then when I get through fishing up there, when I come back this way. I wait till I get to the inlet. Mm-hmm. I get to the inlet, then I start fishing. And after a while, the closer you get to the inlet, the more stuff you catch. Now you take people to go out there fishing up the jetty. Old man used to fish off that jetty, Mr. Oh, I thought about his name. I was to get his wife some shrimp. I'm going to get some shrimp for Santa. And I got a rod out there he gave me. And he stayed right down that jetty, and he catched more bass than any man I ever knew. Mr. Willie Strickland, son, daughter. I used to save crawdad for her. And we went down there one day, one evening, and she catched 60-some pounds of bass like that. Mm. That girl could pull a bass. That's right. But you just go on the time or near the tide mm-hmm. in the slack water, and they bite. That's right. Now you take bass fishing, croaker fishing, spot fishing. I love to do that. Mm-hmm. But see, my wife don't like to go fishing.
Mm-hmm. When did you stop fishing in the boats?
About 4 years.
About 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm. 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I stopped fishing. And, the doctor told me that I could fish right on. But the way the boat's built now, they got to step up. Mm-hmm. And see, this leg is swole. Mm-hmm. It's staying there, mm-hmm. right in there. And this one is not. See, this one is straight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See that? See
yeah.
the difference?
Yeah.
And that give way. Mm-hmm. That give way. And he said, one of these days, so that leg give way and you fall on the side of that boat, that propeller catching, that'll be all of you.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. It shouldn't be, it's good not to be hard-headed. Mm-hmm. See, because if I'd have got off, I wouldn't hit the rocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm going to fish a little bit longer. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You, whatever you're going to get, you ain't going to get no more, you're going to get no less. It might be your life. Like I tell Father this morning, I said, well, you know, you said, you don't catch shrimp every day. You don't catch shrimp every day. You just get a boatload of shrimp. I say, it catches shrimp in a season. I say, it's the time and the moon get right, you catch a good catch. Mm-hmm. When that moon start wasting, the shrimp start hiding. Mm-hmm. And the shrimp goes in the mud. That's right. I went down here on the river shore, right down to these jetties, and right down and see them coming in like that. Just see mm-hmm. them swimming. The other ones I look, you don't see a swim. Take a stick and do like that. You see them shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They get right there close to shore, then they go down and feed. And that's where we find out by catching swim with a ball with that meal mm-hmm. and put down there and catch them. But see, they stop all that. Mm-hmm. They don't allow you to do that. You can't do that in Georgia. We can go in my home town up there and do that. I can go up there and make an easy living. But they don't allow it. They don't allow no casting
yeah.
up there. Because I go up there with that and get me a sack of that meal and cap, and it lasts me a long time. And God didn't get me some of that soft mud and make me about 7 or 8 balls. And just go and make 5 or 6 casts around it, 4 or 5 around that, and catch them big old roasts on. And like they're paying from now $7.50 a pound. People say nigger rich. I'd be nigger rich in a little while. No while that. But.
What do you like best of about fishing, of all the times you've been fishing? What did you like best about it?
I like best about fishing in the daytime. I don't like too much about fishing nighttime. Mm-hmm. I like day fishing.
Mm-hmm. Anything you didn't like about fishing?
Yeah, I don't like fishing at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like it because at nighttime is supposed to sleep. Daytime is supposed to wake. And I didn't like fishing in the daytime. You lose too much rest, and then you got your crew on the boat. And most of the time, you hate to worry them. Because if you take up and get good drag, you want them back there to get them shrimp out.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got a chance, they can lay down and take a nap, let them nap. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about it. I used to come home, my wife would tell you, I'd come home and make coffee so strong,
mm-hmm.
till it turn a pot.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I drink it on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It keep from going to sleep. And sometimes I get to the dock, come to the dock, and I be so sleepy, and I tie the boat up, I be left in the pause and drop asleep. I said, Junior, come there. I said, no, they're asleep. I ain't asleep. Right? They go on and load the boat. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't like lake fishing. I like day fishing. But after I went on the West Coast, and I find out that that's where you have to catch the shrimp over there at night. You don't catch no shrimp in the daytime over there. You catch them at night. Mm-hmm. And then in the daytime, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
So I just sit up on the boat and get on a rock pile somewhere and sit up on the boat and catch fish.
Mm-hmm.
When I come in dock, sometimes I have $100, $150, $200 worth of fish I done caught.
Mm-hmm.
Put them on top of, just throw them on top of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get through unloading the stuff. I said, all right, boy, get my fish out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cappy ain't gonna give me that. I said, well, you sleep. You went to sleep, so I stepped in fish. I can't sleep in the daytime, so I just stepped in fish.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep about an hour, hour and a half, that's it. I get up, I can't sleep no more. So at nighttime, I just go down and take me a... Well, I used to go out each town 10, 15 nights. I used to carry 3 pounds of coffee. And when I come back to the dock, I have the last can.
Sure.
And I just draw that coffee just as strong as I could and put a pinch of sugar in it, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Except for sleep. And when I get real sleepy, I just go back there and get me some ice water and a cup. I put it in there, grab it, and just throw it in my face like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just that quickly, it's gone for a while.
Yeah.
And then when I go out there and make a drag and pick up and get 10 or 12, 15 back, and then sleep gone then for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it no more.
But what do you do with your time now? You were telling us when we first came here that you got up real early this morning.
I know. I just get up in the morning early.
Yeah.
I get up in the morning early, and I sleep on that in the far room back there, and I can hear... When the boats going out, in the nighttime I can hear them, and I get up early and go to the dock. And when they come in, when they have a drag on the deck, I pick up some crab. And my wife likes them. I don't eat them.
Mm-hmm.
See, cause I got less draw. I don't bother with them.
Yeah.
And I go down and help the fellas pick the shrimp up, you know, jump up there and put them in the basket. And they say, "What you want, Eddie? Some fish? You want a mess of shrimp?" Yeah, I get a mess on my wife. I don't want none. But I like my fish. And this morning I've been down there, wasn't no boat come in. I didn't get no fish. So I know y'all was coming, so I come on back home. So I got up early, cut my yard, got me a cup of coffee, and went on the dock.
Yeah, well, sounds like you've done more work all day so far than I'll do by 5 o'clock.
Well, I do that like that because sometimes now in the house, my wife gave me the devil about it. Sometimes I think about it. But I just can't wait. I can't do nothing in the house to sleep no more. Because
mm-hmm.
it seems to me like that's her job.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do it, I don't do it right. If I do something, she said, no, just don't blind. He's blind over here. See, that right there, that's wrong, see? And what use I'm doing it?
Yeah,
but right. That, well, see, that's in me, and I just can't get it out. So.
Yeah.
She said, Eddie, look right the way the older you get, the worse you get. I look at it. I said, I guess so. Maybe. I just can't do it. I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I get up here in the morning, and she get up in the morning. I get up and cook, put some grits on, cook some grits, and cook some fish. I ain't cook no fish for me. I don't want no fish. Quit cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bother with it. That's what I do. I get up in the morning to cook me fish. I cook her some egg. No, I ain't gonna eat now. Yeah, that make me mad. What must I do? I can't do nothing to suit it. So, but we've been together so long. What use? We get mad with each other before night's over, back to loving and talking.
Yeah. So. Well, that's pretty good.
But see, everybody in the world is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple, plenty of people in the world. I know I sit down and look at TV, and I listen at how people been together, some 10 years, some 5 years, got 7 or 8 wives. I don't believe in that. I don't. God made us all. God made these things. And it's like he print, who, when it said John print the Bible. And then John, the printer said, John said, all right, I'm print the Bible. What you want me to print? He said, seal up John, don't write no more. But he didn't intend for you to write no more. But see, the Bible is filled full of it, but look the way it is. Look at how many generations have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said the younger generation. Now, this younger generation is worse than the one coming now. So God is not going to destroy his world. He's going to destroy what's in it. Mm-hmm. And I believe God will let all his people, come right back down and live a happy life. That's going to be the next generation on this earth. When he burn up all the devil on this earth. That's my belief. Because the Bible says, by your belief, you shall be saved. By your belief, you shall be damned. But if you read his holy word and follow it, it come out more than confident. But I believe when one something telling me this here for the last, well, I've been telling me this in my mind for the last 4 or 5 months. They was telling me that. And I thought about it this morning, right strong. The preachers is leading God people wrong. God give man a knowledge. He give him knowledge to read his Bible and understand it, ask for it, and he give it to him. He didn't tell no man to go and sell his religion. He said, go in all the world and preach my gospel to hard believers. He didn't say sell it. Mm-hmm. But a preacher can't come to the church, so he's begging for more money. And that's all he's doing, selling the religion. Mm-hmm. Look at them in the morning time with them fathers over there in Texas, all about these big mansions they're building. You're taking from the poor people and building this mansion and this, all this money they got. They don't give it to God. They're all the people they bury. You don't see none of them army cars go to the grave and carry none of that money. You don't go to the grave and carry none of that money and dump it in there with them. They don't put nobody in that hole but you. That's all. So why would they want to lie on God when it's not true? What the money is for in the church, if your sister, your brother, disabled, go and get somebody to clean them up, clean up the house, and pay them. That's what was, that was taught to me years ago. And that's what I believe. That's what it's for. Because when Jesus come, and Jesus went in the temple, his mother was looking for him, and they went in the temple, and she said, you looking for me? He said, yeah, mother. And he come out to see what she wanted. When he went back, they didn't know, over there fighting over silver and gold, and he got a strap and strapped them out. But see, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. We all remember that.
Sure.
He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And that's right now, that people are grabbing after money, mm-hmm. want more money. The more they get, the more they want. Now, to get the money, well, I got enough, I'm going to give this to so-and-so. Well, them poor people, they ain't got nothing, I'm going to give them that. They ain't going to do that. Mm-hmm. See, because if they got the odds on you, that's all they want. And you got to wake and run and yourself to death to try to make ends meet.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. But in this life, I can say, thank you, Jesus, that when I built this home, me and the man is gone. We built this house right here. I built this house, was built 20 by 20. And we built a room on the back. My wife did, had it built there. And the Spirit of God, when the man come and measure the house, mm-hmm. he said, yeah, man, I said, yeah. How I make that mistake? I said, what mistake? I thought when I measured this house, I ain't measuring this room back here, this room been back. I said, well, why folks, I said, you made a mistake. I said, it's been you, I built it you, on there, you been you. So, because they can take you home if you ain't got the money to pay, and they charge you so much you can't pay.
Yes.
You can't pay. And I know right there where Mr. Jr. got that place there, the right spot. Mm-hmm. He got it for his son because the lady was there, her husband left, and she took and put another room on tape for a restaurant. And I think it was awful. And then people come there, and they find out she put that on there. And then they sent her that bill, she just sold it. Mm-hmm. They said she'd never make that money back. Mm-hmm. I know we've been having a piece of running around there to do it all check.
Yeah.
And when we bought the property, we wasn't thinking. We could have bought 2 lots. You bought one. And I suppose I'll add the back door church on to it to have a parking lot. So when the people was giving the people the property that's been here, we wasn't here when that was going on. Mm-hmm. So we went up to see about it. So it belonged to the city. So now if we build a kitchen back there, we ain't gonna have no parking room for the cars. For the cars to come, they won't have no way to park. Because the thing is 50 foot wide, and it's, I think it's 105 foot long. And we got a kitchen, a small kitchen on there, and when we put that on there, and it wasn't that, ain't that many people now. But you have to build. What you gonna build? When you build, where you gonna put the car? So if you can't talk to a person and tell him nothing, let them go tell the butt. That's the way I feel about it, because I don't like to argue.
Yeah.
I told him that in church last night. No, I don't argue. Yeah. I said, God tell me always to be humble. I'm going to be humble. I said, since I've been being humble, I always come out more and conquer. Mm-hmm. That's right. I have more white friends than I do color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not long ago, a friend of mine, I used to take him out on the boats and take the school children, the ones in 15 to 10, 12th grade.
Yeah.
I used to take them out, and I'd take my time in the wheelhouse, and I used to show them the depths of water I catch swim. And when I make a try and pull a try up, I show them about the shells and this and that, and they come in. They used to have these canteen on the boat. They put these, what's called them in, and they bring them. And they study them, and they go to school. Sometimes they come back, Captain Eddie. I show up. He said, look what I make. I make this, and I make that. And he come down here one day, but now Mr. Roland Dockin caught me down there and took my picture, took the boat picture on the dock. And they put it in the paper. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, Captain Eddie, I see your name in the paper. And I was trying to get them thing, and I couldn't get them one of them people back to save my life. I tried. I told him, now, I said, you know one thing, Mr. Clark? He said, yeah. I ain't never been able to get them people. I wanted to get one taken.
Well, that's too bad. Did you have any questions, Cynthia? I've been doing most of the talking here with Captain Eddie.
That's fine, and I've enjoyed that. But I did have a couple of questions. First, I need to know how you spell Eddie. E-D-D-I-E or Y?
That's right. E-D-D-I-E. V-A-K-E.
Because I'm writing for the paper.
Well, you are.
When we take the picture, then we'll be sure you have one.
That's good.
When you spoke about the carrier pigeons, when did you actually use those on your boat, or what were they?
They bring them to the boat. You know, it's like we go out and fish. We go out in the morning.
Yeah.
And we fish. And they bring two pigeons.
Yeah.
And they put one on you. When you get out in the morning, if you put overboard at 8 o'clock,
yeah.
You put that on at 8 o'clock. And that pigeon will go back to their beast.
To tell them...
Yeah, you see, you got a little valve, and buckle it on his feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put that little thing on there and say, 8 o'clock or 8:30, I turn it loose, you go back to the beast.
To say when you're going to return, was that the idea?
Yeah.
To tell them you're going to be in by 8?
Yeah, no, if you put overboard at 8 that morning.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see, and they look on the valve and take the little button off, the feet,
yeah.
And they open it. See, but they keep a record. They tell us how long... And we on the north side of the bar. We tell them we fishing on the north side.
Oh, all right.
Side.
Then you tell location. Yeah. This is for safety, not to talk about the catch.
Not to talk about the safety. Mm-hmm. Where we be at. See, because if a submarine or something was to come up, I mean, they be looking to the north of the bar.
Yeah.
See, if we see a submarine, that's for if we seen a submarine or something, all we have to put on that little envelope and put it on there, a valve, and put it in there and buckle it. And turn him loose. See, they shoot it.
So you use this as late as the 1940s?
Yeah.
This was to tell the Navy that there might be danger if you saw a submarine or something like that?
That's what it is.
And that's the only time you'd send a pigeon?
Yeah, when you see something. But we'll turn it. Now, when we go down the beach, if we be gone for 8 days, we carry 8 pigeons.
Yeah.
If you're gone for 5 days, you carry 5 pigeons. But the more of the time we go down there, we carry 4. You can't read from 5 to 6 pigeons.
This is before radio, before you could use radio.
Yeah, before you had no radio. You know nothing about radio. Mm-hmm. Damn. And I don't know, I didn't look for it, but I didn't put my wife in no trouble. I got some papers in here now that they are report submarine, but it's Navy, not this man. But the admiral was dead during that time. I imagine he's dead. But I, off Lushimana, off Daytona, where I was, Lushimana is the only place we going. They had a port down there. And he was coming from the Cape, and I saw the submarine. And I come in and went in. I went by the guard station, and I told him. I said, I see a sub down there, right down off of Turtle Mount. I said, it's to the top of the water. Huh? Something wrong with it or what? But it's to the top of the water. He said to me, you don't know what a damn sub look like. So I was arguing with him. I ain't say no more to him. After he gave me a card, I went on up to the dock. But I went over there, and I went over to the Navy Yard. And I said, hey, command the captain. He said, he ain't there. So I went in and said, yeah, captain, what is it? I gave him the card, and he said, oh, you off the Vagabond? I said, yes, sir. I said, I report a submarine off there down there off of Turma. I told this fella about it, and he told me, I don't know what a damn submarine looked like. I said, well, that's pretty close to land over there, but I see this one. And he reached over there talking to me and taught a button. And boy, we had to jug our finger in the air. Airplane, I know where to come home so quick. And he told me, he said, yeah. See, there's a submarine. That's what he said. And he said, you got to go with me. So I got in the Jeep. And we got in the Jeep, went across there. We went on down there. And they dropped smoke bombs all around it. And after a while, they come up and they talk to them. So they had some kind of way they communicate with them. Mm-hmm. But after a while, they all come up and they took that thing and they pull it to the shore. And they put a cable. And that's the first time they make a ladder out of cable. And they had me and you by our thumb, handcuffed. And they took 110 men off of it.
It was a German submarine?
German and an Italian. It was
Italian? Mixed crew?
Yeah. Mixed crew, yeah.
What year was that? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I know it was in the 40s.
Yeah.
It was in the 40s because it wasn't long before they bummed a ship off him. Yeah. Well, it was just before then. And I remember fishing down there and I saw that. I saw that sub.
It was a U-boat, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, you were talking about back when you would have perhaps a 22 horsepower engine.
Yeah.
What now do we have? Tell me the difference in size.
Size? Oh, yeah, we have 300 horse, 200 horse. We have 250 horse now. Yeah, I have 300 horse in these shrimp boats now.
You were talking about how the shrimp at one time were canned.
Yeah.
And then sent up north. They were boiled or pickled or canned.
They're boiled.
Now we grade them by size, and they still go north, but it's still in ice? Or?
Yeah, they're in ice. They freeze them.
Yeah, okay.
They freeze them.
Okay. You were telling me that you fish for Raymond Singleton?
Yeah.
Is it Manuel Roland? Is that his name? Is that
no.
Mr. Roland?
Mr. Roland is
one person.
Is one person.
Yeah.
And Manuel Jesus is another person. Jesus.
Okay. You said you fished for him for about 27
years. 27, 28 years, man. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And Captain Raymond.
Yeah, that's Mr. Singleton.
Singleton. That's the last, not the last man I fished, but that's the last man that learned me much as I did about swimming nets.
Who was the right spot owner?
I fished for him not long ago. I just got off of his boat when I resigned.
Name?
Mr. Junior Beasley?
Junior Beasley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Junior Beasley.
Oh, I was awfully interested in the fact that you went to France, kind of when you hadn't planned to at all.
That's right. How that happened, I was shining shoes.
Yeah.
A little kid in there going on down the ship shining the fella's shoes.
Where, in Brunswick?
Brunswick, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And when I heard the ship blow, I thought it was blowing for the pollards, you know, to come down. I was hard to try to get through, but I kind of found it. I ain't seen no pollard, but we was out in the ocean. So they laugh, you know, and just make fun of me. Don't get worried. We ain't going to hurt you. We going to do this, and we going to do that, and you do this, man. And it's, well, I just well make it, make myself at home, and yeah, I couldn't swim that far.
How old were you then?
Me, I guess I've been around 12, 14 years old, yeah. 12 years old, something like that. Because when I come back, I got on a boat to come here to Mayport, on a boat, and after I learned that much about fishermen, you know, seamen, you know,
right.
And I wanted to get on a boat. And I got on a boat with Captain Tarver. He's a fellow out of Low Bluff, we used to call him. He had a little old boat. And he used to bring these pollard. Well, I guess they used to make good money out of it because he gave me 75 cents. And I figured that was pretty good money. And then I ain't had no way to spend it because on the water you can't spend no money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get back to Brunswick, he gave me my money. And I run home and get to my father. And he said,
but later, you started coming to Mayport on that boat that broke pilings.
Yeah.
And you just stayed. And
I just stayed. I stayed after I found out. Find some girlfriend around, you gotta stay.
End of the July 16th, 1986 interview with Captain Eddie Baker. End of tape.